83 and 83 would be young teenager but 93 and she just survived a heavy double hip break. The hip was breaking because she's so enthusiastic and can never understand that she's in an old body, and it was a little bit too fast for her age, and broke and fell and broke her hip. So I thought, on a birthday, let me take the devotees in our little ashram, and we will go to her and sing kirtan as a gift, and then give some cultural presentations on and express a gratitude. So we did so, and she received everything gratefully, which I was happy that she did not get out. And then she said, "You were always so different." And then she shared something with me, which I, you know, since it's Mother's Day, we should praise the mother. she said, "When you were a baby, you always wanted that I would take you and throw you in the air and then catch you. That was your favorite. Whatever went wrong in your life, when this was done to you, you were absolutely happy." I was taking you. You were heavy, you were a very fat baby. And I threw you. And they caught you, and you were screaming, "Higher, higher, higher." And I threw you high, but then I noticed you smiled so much. And I was thinking in my heart, "My little angel, what if he comes too high, then he will fly away. He is different. He can do anything. He might do something like this. I'm a very ordinary person, as you have known in these 2 days. Very ordinary, and has many faults. But mother thinks the child is an angel." I think I grew up on the love of my mother. She was very affectionate to me. She thought secretly, "I'm an angel and might fly away." Whoop! And this... very affectionate. I will today write a letter to her and say, "Mother, you couldn't do anything against it because I was in America. You were not there. I was praising you. And you were defenseless." We are a little tough love means you talk like this. Yes. Krishna. Hare Krishna. I know also His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, whom I very, very much respect as a senior spiritualist, an accomplished Vaishnava, but also as a friend. He has always surprised us how he showed his affection towards his mother and his father. No? But very affectionate dealings. I have seen, Malati has also most probably seen, very affectionate. It's a healthy individual will express love. Maybe there is a letter you want to write today or later. It doesn't have to happen in one day. Good. Now comes the Bhagavatam. The essence of the Bhagavatam's teaching is a fascinating subject matter. Let us just open the lecture properly. A little higher, please. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavi Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Rana Vallabha Giri Varadari Gopi Rana Vallabha Giri Varadari Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Premanandi Hari 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 Bo. Yesterday's very wonderful, expert, and spiritually enlivening katha, my godbrother Sankirtan Prabhu has told, amongst other pastimes, one pastime which I would like to take the Bhagavatam verse of today from. This pastime happened after Lord Chaitanya's initiation by Ishwarapuri. You remember, the Lord displayed symptoms of ecstasy which were so extraordinary that he did not know if this was proper or if this was befitting or if he was out of his mind, maybe. And he returned to his spiritual master, who confirmed that when one chants the holy names properly, the heart gets purified to such an effect that the symptoms of love of Godhead, that love of Godhead first appears, and with it these extraordinary ecstatic symptoms. And then, saying this, Ishwarapuri, I will read this verse here. Eta bali eka shloka shikoila more bhagavatera sara e bale vare vare. Saying this, remembers Gauranga Mahaprabhu, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Listen to this now, please. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions, the very essence of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, he recited this verse again and again. Evam vratasva priyanamakirtya. Evam vratasva priyanamakirtya. Jatanurago druta citta uccai. Jatanurago druta citta uccai. Hasatyato rodite roti gayati. Hasatyato rodite roti gayati. Unmada vanrityati lokabaya. Please again. Evam vratasva priyanamakirtya jatanurago duta citta uccha hasatyato rodita rodke gayati unmadavane yati lokabhayam. So this, after chanting this again and again, well, let us now hear the translation. This is what the verse says. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who's very dear to him, he's agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman. What here happens, my dear devotees, is that there is an invasion at the shore of the consciousness by the transcendental energy, the Bhakti Shakti, which is composed of the Hladini, the pleasure potency, and the Samvit potency. And this energy comes into the consciousness of the chanter. It infuses him almost like a lightning comes into a dead body who then jumps up. So this example is given. We are spiritually dead, but when this infusion of the transcendental energy comes to us, then all of a sudden we start to laugh, to be ecstatic, and we want to we want to dance even. It is to be understood. Prabhupada dwells at a great length on this subject matter. It is to be understood that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced, he did so by the influence of the pleasure potency of the spiritual world. Prabhupada often said, this chanting and dancing is not a material activity which could be compared with other dancing. And I don't know how it is with you, but before Krishna consciousness, I danced, like to dance very much. As a child, I danced always. I had not much chance. I danced also as a young boy. And then with 16 years, I joined the movement. I danced there very nicely. I also like to dance nowadays, but there's always mobile phone, these monsters which spoil all the pleasure, that because who wants to be on a mobile phone? So then one better is reserved. But I very much like to dance, and I know all of you, it keeps you young and in good Krishna consciousness. But for the pleasure of the Lord must be, the dance must be. So it is. So this energy, it comes, and then you dance. Never trust, there's a book, never trust a Swami who doesn't dance. this is one word of Achyutananda Maharaj. He has written this. It's a little New York style writing. Trust the Swamis, they are giving their best. And they may not dance because of old age or social consideration. I don't know. So he did so by the influence of the pleasure potency. It's a spiritual thing, not a material thing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never considered the holy name of the Lord to be a material vibration. Nor does any pure devotee mistake the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a material musical manifestation. Lord Chaitanya never tried to be the master of the holy name. Rather, he taught us how to be servants of the holy name. It's a very long purport. I encourage you to read it. It is from Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 7. The section starts where the essence of the Bhagavatam is explained. On text 93, it continues to 94, and 95 and 96, Prabhupada writes an extensive and beautiful purport on this subject matter, and so on. It's the essence of the Bhagavatam. When there is advancement coming into us, then we like to take pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who's very dear to such an advanced devotee. It's the essence. Now, let us be now extremely critical. Is this just the view of the Chaitanya tradition? Bhagavatam is a literature of the Vedic canon, and there are various traditions which relate to the Bhagavatam. How, let us ask this critical question, how do you determine what is the essence of a scripture? Now, there is a very old and authorized exegesical, or whatever the word is, method. What I want to explain is how to interpret a text and understand a text. There's an English word for this. Brahma Tirtha Mahaprabhu might know exegesic or something. What? Yeah, exegesis. Thank you. Thank you. This is a method by which you know what is the what does the work say, and this method has six steps of analyzing a text, which this is used by Jiva Goswami, by Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Baladev Vidyabhushana. These scholars go with this method of six steps. You need to first know what is the upakrama, that means the beginning or opening sentence of a work. Then you need to understand the upasamhara. Sorry, I said upakrama means the opening of the work. Opening, not end. Opening. Then you need to go to the upasanghara, the end of the author's concluding words. He will summarize what he wanted to express. Then you will have to check abhyasa, which means repetition, or that what is repeated by the author again and again in the book. Then you need to study, does he highlight something like an apurva phala, an extraordinary point in his book? What is that? And finally, and there comes Atavada. What does he really glorify in his book? And then Upapati. You need to see, when he uses logic, what does he prove with using logic? So I have prepared a lengthy class on this subject matter, where I have tried to show in my own ways how the let me say the Bhagavatam talks in all these six points about the holy name. But there is a little time, so I would like to concentrate on two aspects of the Bhagavatam. That is the very last verse of the book. Isn't it? We all know this. When we give a lecture or when we sit down, at the end we wish to make clear that whatever it is that we wanted to give our audience as a gift of wisdom, of help, we repeat that. We say, in conclusion, in summary, this is what I was meaning to say. So the last verse goes like this. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. You're very enthusiastic, yes. Good, let's do it. Sava Papa Pranashanam. Pranamo Dukha Samanas. Tam Namami Harim Param. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy name destroys all the sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. That's how it's in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse 23, the very last verse. It says very clearly, Nama Sankirtanam. Now you think, well, you can do Sankirtanam of many Namas. You can make Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, and everyone can sing it. Jaya, what do we else? Jaya. Gonitai, Jaya Gonitai. You can do congregational chanting with every one of this. But it says Harim, the name of Hari must be chanted. So that is the main essence of the Bhagavatam teachings. If we look at the last statement, the Upasanghara statement, there are four, as far as Abhyasa, His Holiness Bhaktivigyan Maharaj, who is a real scholar, has counted more than 400 repetitions where the chanting of the name is repeatedly glorified. One of them is, I think, let us chant, Krishna Vanam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastrapasharam Yagya Sankirtan Prajaniya Yajantihi Sumedasa. No, the I was actually thinking that's not such a good quotation. I thought of something else. I made a mistake here. What was this? Can someone help me? The ocean of the Kali is an ocean of faith. What? Yeah, Kalea Dosha Nidera Jan Asti Heka Mahat Gunat Kirtanat Eva Ganeshji. Sorry. Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramvajit. You got the idea. Krishna's name must be chanted in the age of Kali. That, what does it do to you? Mukta Sangha, it liberates you from all obstacles, and Paramgatim, it gives you the greatest goal. Now, statements like this, there are 400 plus statements. Again and again, this is repeated. Now you might know the Bhagavatam also uses logic to make its point. And it makes a very, very nice point. It's the Kaimutya Nyaya. It's a type of logic where you say, if this is true, how much more true must that be? Yeah, let me give you an example. Oh, someone who's a logician, I'm not so logical. Gaur Krishna and his father are both devotees. If the son, Gaur Krishna, who was trained by his father, is already such a nice devotee, how much more must the father be a nice devotee? He trained him afterwards. This is Kamutya logic. If this is true, Gaur Krishna, I think he's a nice devotee, you can investigate him, a very nice devotee. If his father who trained him, if he's already such a good devotee, how much nicer will be his father? Sunna Gopal, you must meet Sunna Gopal. Yes. So this logic is a particular kind of logic. It is used in the Ajamil story, where Ajamil was a sinner. He only chanted once the name. Now, and he got such a high result that he was saved from death and got a second chance to practice bhakti in the banks of the Ganga and became realized just by chanting and went back to Godhead. No? If that is true, how much more true must it be if someone comes and chants every day 16 rounds trying to avoid the offenses against the holy name? That's a logic. And here is a verse. Samocharana mahatmyam hare pashyata putraka ajamilo Pijenaiva Mrityu Pashat Amuchyate. My dear servants, says Yamaraj to the Yamadutas, who are as good as my sons, just see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Just see this. Take note of it. There was this greatly sinful Ajamil. He chanted only to call his son, not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name. Nevertheless, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, he remembered Narayan, and thus he immediately was saved from the ropes of death. You understand the logic? How glorious must be the chanting if already this person who did not perform so well in his chanting, you know, has such a high result. Just imagine this, the use of logic. The whole chapter uses this. So there are many, many ways. I cannot go into the details more due to lack of time, but because my tongue is itching to say something, I must say something else. In the 12th canto, Shukadev Goswami, before he rounds up the Bhagavatam teaching, wishes to make this point that the chanting is not only the best sadhana. In fact, he goes so far as to establish that is the only sadhana, like we have in our verse, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. It's a quite exclusive statement. No other way, no other way, no other way. Maybe some of you cringe when they hear this formulation, remembering the born-again Christians who banged their shields over our head. You know, no other way. Three times, Shukadev Goswami joins the chorus. He establishes there's no other sadhana. And listen, please, to his reasoning in the Bhagavatam. He says that in Kali Yuga, everything is polluted. The objects, the places, and even the mind of individuals is polluted. There are many unwholesome things going on in there. In this situation, only the Lord himself, when he appears personally, can help the conditioned souls. Because whatever the conditioned souls will do, he will have to rely on Kali Yuga infected places, processes. His mind is not always trustworthy, it is also polluted. And also even the objects which he may use in puja is polluted. No? So only the only pure thing is a pure nothing. The only pure being is Krishna, who can never be polluted. And because Krishna is identical with his holy name, therefore you can only purify yourself by bringing Krishna into your consciousness. You know this, when you want to clean something and you use an unclean item, let us say an unclean rag, you will not be able to clean the place with the unclean thing. You can't clean, for instance, a temple floor if the rag is overly has already accumulated so much dirt. You will just wipe the dirt again and spread it around. No? So in Kali Yuga, the austerities which you might take, he speaks of breath control, this method, compassion, bathing in holy places, charity, and even chanting various mantras can not achieve the purification that is achieved when the Supreme personality of Godhead appears in the heart through Nam Kirtan or Nam Japa. Can you understand his reasoning? And then he gives us an example. He says, when you have gold, it can be discolored. Gold discolors. Now, if you take something like a clean cloth and want to rub the coloring away, it doesn't work. If you take a lot of air, it doesn't work. This coloring is somehow in the metal and it doesn't respond. With even tons and tons and tons of water, clean water, which you pour over it, there's only one process which will work. You have to bring, fire. The fire will melt the gold, and then the discoloring, or even also sometimes, how do you call this? Metals, iron, and etc., will separate from the gold, the pure gold, and it will go. So only the verse says only fire applied to gold can remove any discoloration caused by traces of other metals. In the same way, only the Lord, when He enters the hearts and minds of the yogis, can purify them. You are Bhakti Yogi, so it can purify you. But even more, when the Lord's name is taken and meditated upon by those who are about to die, He, the Lord, reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity, Atma Bhavam. So in this way, chanting is the essence of the Bhagavatam teachings. And when we discover that our faith in chanting is minimal, just to complete our 16 rounds is a severe challenge on our faith. Oh, how do I really... I can't believe that it's that important. Mind will say to us, no? Or even hearing the statements of or being asked to sit in kirtan for longer than an hour, thinking, not with me, I'm not one of these young spring in the field, you know, and so on. When we feel that our faith is not up and our practice is not up to the required levels, my dear devotees, don't go at that time the road of compromise and losing all your opportunities in the human form of life. Sincerely acknowledge, I'm a conditioned soul, I must do something to somehow cure my lack of attraction to the holy name. I must work on this. I must look, where do I commit possibly some offenses which cloud over my chanting practice and take my taste. I must look very carefully. What can I do? What is the quality of my rounds? And not just, we should not bash ourselves and bang ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. We should see, is there something which I'm not doing at this present moment, which I, if I do it, stand a good chance that my attraction will grow. And today in our workshop session, which starts at 11 o'clock, I will hope to be able to guide you into a workshop where you will identify for yourself something which you might like to take with you from your holy name retreat into your daily life, which will empower you so that you will be able to chant at home the holy name with absorption and taste. That is the great hope, and therefore I wish to say, please come to the workshop. It's very important. I know some of you have very tight schedules, and I hope no one needs to leave before the workshop. If you can change something in the tickets without paying amounts which are beyond your ability, please try. It is very important. It is, so to say, coming to this. All right. This time I can end earlier. I'm hearing that His Holiness Vashana Maharaj will be outside I can't see to wait to see him, and sign books. Yes, Malati?
This is a public service announcement. Please, just for all the mothers, the grandmothers, the little-to-be mothers, in other words, anybody with a male body, please come forward right after the class. Don't run out the door to Varshana Swami, because there is a very special offering for all of you.
Oh, good. Hare Krishna. All the mothers come forward. Grandmothers, future mothers, everyone. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.